All You Need to Know is brought to you by no one. No one at all.
Welcome to All You Need to Know, the show where you hear about everything and learn about nothing. Here are your hosts, Quinn Eaton
and Isaac Bayer.
I'll do it twice. I am that committed. And I'm glad that all the people at home heard me say that, because you know who wouldn't have been that committed as to do it twice?
Hey, no.
I didn't say it.
Let's leave all of our other co-hosts out of this, okay? This is All You Need to Know. My name is Quinn Eaton. With me today, as you've already heard, Isaac Bayer. As you've probably noticed, Isaac is here a lot, and thankfully, because otherwise, literally, just to be transparent, Isaac, yesterday I almost sat in this lonely studio/closet and recorded the podcast by myself. Can you imagine?
And no disrespect to you, because obviously you're very capable of doing it. You've been doing it a long time, but I think that is probably one of your worst ideas. I think the charm of the podcast is two people, podcasts in general. Otherwise, just go listen to a TED Talk.
That's true. And I think there has been one time in the history of All You Need to Know where I did start the podcast by myself because I needed to be done with it by a certain time. DJ was supposed to be there at a certain time, showed up late. So I had already started. So whenever he walked in, he was like, whoa, what's going on? And I was like, oh, the podcast is live. I started it 8 minutes ago. So it kind of bought us some time. And I do remember it being not as bad as I thought it would be, because there are moments in the podcast, just to kind of pull back the curtain for a second, where I might, you know, ask you a question and then get a drink of water, or hey, you know what, I'm running out of things to say on this part, let's throw it over to the other person that's here to see what's going on. There was no back and forth, like you were saying, so it was a little
crazy.
Unnatural.
That's what, yeah. People with schizophrenia do, they talk to themselves.
Well, I will say, I used to be an avid listener of the Monday morning podcast with Bill Burr, and he sits there by himself for 25, 30 minutes and just talks
he's
about
a professional comic.
Things like that.
That's what he does. That's what they're supposed to do.
He's pretty good at what he does. Yes, I would agree. But we're not talking about Bill Burr. We're not talking about the intricacies of podcasting and whether or not two people is necessary for a podcast. It's kind of like, what's the old saying? If a tree falls in the woods, but no one's around to hear it, doesn't make a sound. If two white guys do a podcast, is there anyone that's listening? You know, it's the same. It's the same.
That's a bit of a stretch,
right? Yeah. Well, you know what
I guess
saying.
So.
But here we are, over 300 episodes in here at All You Need to Know, and we're just going strong. You know, whenever you introduce yourself to people, do you say, "Hi, my name's Isaac Bayer. I'm a podcaster." Have you ever said that to anybody?
Never one time have I said it. And in fact, never one time has it crossed my mind as a title that I would hold.
Okay, so it doesn't, you're not necessarily thinking about it. It's not that it slips your mind or that you're embarrassed by it, right?
I would need to be getting paid for this, for it to register as something that I do.
That makes sense. That's fair enough. And I won't ask you any follow-up questions there. I trust that that's a good answer. And I also trust that now's a good time to bring us into today's topic, which is one that, for change, you're very excited to get to. So I want to make sure you have plenty of time to get all of your thoughts, opinions, threats out there. So let's go ahead and dive
threats.
Right in, huh? Threats, yeah. You can't ever count them out. But this is episode 307, today's topic, airport and airline travel etiquette.
You're running a button up. It's 8:30 local. You're at your house in a closet wearing a button up.
Yep. It's just a flannel that I was wearing beforehand because I had to go do something. And whenever I came back, there wasn't a lot of time in between. So I just kept what I was wearing on, if that makes sense, because I'm not the type of person that's going to wear something in the morning, change into something else for the day, and then after the day, change into something else at night. Because then that's three outfits in one day. Versus if I just kind of wear one thing
Kind of loungewear is what you're saying. You don't
Sure.
wear comfortable clothes. You don't wear sweatpants at home when the day's over.
I have a robe actually, that that's one of my favorite clothing items. But let's not get too into my closet, because I'm already in my closet. That's where I do the podcast from. I want to
Bit of a
talk more.
segue.
I
It's a
want to
bit of a
talk
segue if you think about it.
more about airport and airline travel etiquette. Now, this is something that, like I teased, you're excited about. This is one that you've brought to the table multiple times, and now seems like the right time to talk about it. Maybe because airlines have been more in the news as of late, which that's the one thing you don't want to be in the news, really. You would rather not hear anything about airline travel, but recently we've heard a lot about Boeing mishaps. A door flew off one of them in midair. Panels are just flying off. One of them caught the tail, caught on fire. There's a lot going on with airlines right now, to the point where this is 2024, into March, and Boeing higher ups, the Boeing CEO, just stepped down, said, "Hey, I can't do this anymore." They were cutting a lot of corners, they were cutting a lot of costs, and clearly, we've now found out that they were more, I don't know, motivated by stock prices than safety, which is not something you want to hear when you're flying in a metal tube high above the earth. But we're
Yeah,
not talking about all of that. If you want to add to
as
it.
someone like you that is has overcome a great personal obstacle, an almost life-halting fear of airlines, this is grounds for relapse.
No, this is good. As strange as it sounds, and Isaac was alluding to the fact that, yes, I was afraid of flying. It was more the fact that I was afraid of the unknown, right? Because I'd never flown before. Once I flew, I was fine. But there was that, I don't know. And naturally, are humans supposed to, fly, get up in a big tube and fly all across the earth? That to me is still kind of a tricky thing to think about. I try not to think about it too much. But actually, weirdly enough, all these things that are happening makes me feel better, because I know, or at least I hope, that those safety things are going to be checked on even more now that they've had things happen that cause negative press for certain airlines, certain companies. So I see what you were saying, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? This is good. And I'm glad that I wasn't flying in the past couple months. I will say that. But it seems like maybe this is a wake-up call and things will only get better. That's what I'm at least hoping for.
Sure. Also feels like, and I hate to say it because we're probably getting off of it, feels like we're not quite on the on topic. People are listening to this thinking we are talking about something that we are not talking about.
No,
Though related.
we are now diving into airport and airline travel etiquette, right? We can't talk about that
Etiquette keyword.
without talking about the planes themselves, right? We've covered that, got the baseline. Everybody's caught up. March 2024. If you're listening to this way off from now, you know that all that stuff happened back when. But we're going to talk about airport etiquette, and anytime we've done an airline travel etiquette, and anytime we've done an episode like this, we often kind of move through it in chronological order. I know anytime we've talked, I think we talked about the doctor's office. I think we've talked about the dentist, and it's just like the process that you go through, right? So that's what we're going to present this as, is basically close your eyes and imagine that you're going to catch a flight. You're going to hop on a bird and go somewhere else with Isaac and I, and we're kind of walking you through it. It's almost like a guided tour, like you're at a museum and you're looking at all the exhibits, and we're telling you all about it, how things are supposed to happen and what's best. So first thing first, Isaac, you can't fly unless you get to the airport. So
So true.
the etiquette around getting to the airport, are you driving? Are you taking public transportation? Are you Ubering? What are those options looking like for different
What's
people?
my time limit on this one?
I would say just a couple, a minute maybe. We do have a lot to
Right.
get to still.
Sure. And a lot of this is pretty anecdotal, okay? Because I've got a pretty reasonable portfolio when it comes to flying. Not extensive, but it's pretty reasonable. And so what I have found, it really depends on how close are you to the airport. You know, the closer you are, the better, because you could have a friend drop you off. If you have
True.
to park, sometimes you have to park. You got to consider the price of parking. Absolutely predatory. in every regard, on the timeline, on the measuring scale, the numerical price. So you hate to see it because am I gonna pay to park? Because for me, living 2.5 hours or so from Denver, it's a quite a drive. But to take a bus is, it's like a shuttle service, right? It's equally expensive. And so I'll tell you, I'm driving. I took the shuttle bus once. I said, well, you know what? Let me save the mileage. Let me save the gas. Let me save the parking fee. And it was arguably probably like a top 10 worst decisions I've ever made
Sure.
in my life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that again for anything, I think.
But basically the way that you laid it out is I guess pretty explanatory. It basically you're at the mercy of your location in relation to the airport. So I used to be the same way where I was about a 2 hour drive from the airport. Now I'm pretty close. I could Uber. Asking a friend to take you to the airport is a big time thing, and it's very touchy because
If
you can't
it's
do
2 hours
it.
away, it is.
Right, but even 30 minutes to me kind of seemed like how often are you flying? How often are you asking this friend? Maybe you're cycling through different friends, so you don't have the same friend taking you to the airport every time. It's a little tricky, but I think definitely whenever you live closer to an airport, parking there is just no, that's not an option. You're not doing that. That would be silly. Especially if you can catch a Lyft or an Uber to the airport. I feel like that's kind of a no-brainer. And basically, like what you said. The etiquette here is basically just comparing prices, saying, okay, how much am I going to pay if I park my car at the airport for 4 days versus how much am I going to pay if I am getting a ride or how much can I, I'm going to take a friend out to dinner if they take me to the airport and pick me up, that kind of thing. So,
Consider too the potential the opportunity cost of taking your own vehicle, having the freedom. One thing I like about going to the airport is that I'm out of town and I can take part in out of town opportunities
sure.
while I'm out of town. If you're taking a shuttle bus, forget about it, you
Yeah,
know.
it's just straight one way kind of thing going to the airport. Business, strictly business if you're taking a shuttle. But let's talk about how early you get there because everybody
Wow.
books a flight.
Yeah.
And it varies in times. One of the earlier flights that I've ever left is I think around 7:30, and then I've also taken
Yeah.
in the morning, and then I've taken late flights like leaving at 8 o'clock. So it's a different, very different experience at the airport. But how early are you getting?
Backwards. Work backwards for me when you say I've got a flight that leaves noon 30. Work backwards for me for how when you're going to arrive. Your formula.
I think I have the typical dad timeline where I feel like 2 hours is good. I'm not really sure why. Because most of the time it doesn't feel like anytime I get to the airport, I'm never like, man, thank goodness I allotted 2 hours. But I know that at one point I wouldn't, and then I would have needed to.
Exactly.
I never want
Exactly.
to cut it close because there it's not a situation where hey, we're still in the terminal because old Mr. Eaton still hasn't hopped on the plane. If you're not there, they're out of there. They're not waiting for anybody.
Leave them.
Yep.
Leave them.
And
That
then,
happened in Denver.
do you?
They left, they no, to some guy. They left the guy. He broke through the door and climbed into the turbine and got
Wow.
chopped up as they were leaving.
Okay. Well, that's not a
It
great
happened recently.
anecdote, but I guess a lesson to get to the airport earlier, if anything. There's clearly some other things going on in that story. I have a theory because one time I watched a man. As I sat in my gate with 45 minutes left until my plane left, I watched a man walk up to the desk and put his bag on the table, and the door had already closed. And he said, "I'm supposed to be on that plane. The plane's still parked there. It hasn't backed up yet." And he's saying, "I gotta get on the plane." And the lady's like, "Sorry, the door's closed. I can't let you on." So he backs up. He does the old head nod no, like so disappointed. Then he goes back, and he's like, "I got to get on this plane. Can you let me on this plane?" "No, sir. Sorry. Same thing I just told you. The doors have closed. I can't let you on the plane." So he backed away again, a couple more head nods, right? And so I was fully prepared to witness some sort
Your
of
violent act.
no, some sort of airline handbook rule where it's like this guy knows that If you go up to the
Oh,
desk three times and each time you walk away from the desk, you shake
If
your
I
head in
disrespect
disappointment
this
more.
low-level employee.
It's like three times is the charm. Of course, that didn't happen. He just never got on that plane. But I thought it would have been really funny if he would have gone up maybe the fifth time, and that was the magic number. And she's like, "Oh yeah, you know what? I can go ahead and let you in. Somehow you knew about that secret rule that Delta Airlines has." But 2 hours for me, I think that's plenty of time, because it's also dependent on how fast you can get through TSA. And so that's the next kind of part. You get to the airport, or you decide when you want to get there. Then however you get there is however you get there. But then you walk in with your bags. I don't think I've ever checked a bag. I've always got carry-ons. I'm team carry-on. I'm not paying however much extra. I'll pack it into a pillowcase if I have to.
Well,
And
you have to consider all the variables.
but
It's
I
not a mindless, decision to say I'm team carry on. You've really got to weigh the risk reward.
how do you
Because, go
I was
ahead.
well and I agree with you. But for the most part, I always like knowing I have my bag, because I've always heard the horror stories of, yeah, I went on vacation and they lost my bag. I didn't have a swimsuit, or I had a business meeting and all I had was the sweatpants and shirt that I was wearing type thing.
It's
So
free.
yeah.
What if it's free? What if
South.
they say, you know what? We'll check it for free.
And I've checked. I think one time I traveled for a college golf tournament, and I had to put my golf clubs in, and I had to check them. You can't, of course, carry golf clubs onto an airplane. So, yes, I have checked them before, but I would just prefer to know all of my belongings are right here. They're in my bag. They're above me. Or I often have a backpack. They're in my backpack type thing. But enough about that. The TSA line. Of course, what is the other thing that you can get pre-check, TSA pre-check, where you just walk right through, and it seems super very lackadaisical and slightly dangerous, where you just pay a
Well,
fee?
pre-check, I don't know if it, I mean, I think you have to have some, I think you have to have a few, like whenever I was working for the government, I got the pre-check. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you might have to have some credential. I don't know if it's just pay to play. It could be, I might be wrong, but I'm
It's
pretty sure you have to have some credential.
my understanding is it is a fee per year or per month or whatever, but then you also go through a pretty strenuous interview process, and they're really
Yeah.
vetting you to try to figure things out, which I like. But then I always kind of like, why can't they just, go through this line? Or maybe like if you do TSA pre-check, it's kind of like the express lane where you're going to get through faster, but you still kind of have to go. I don't know, but anywho, for people that don't do TSA,
Found.
for people that don't do TSA pre-check, you're waiting in line. Sometimes the line's not bad. Sometimes you get there and say, "Holy smokes, this is a long line." You're sitting there with a bunch of mouth-breathing people. I think honestly, that's where I feel like you get, if you're going to get something, catch an illness, it's kind of in that line, because
What if it
everybody's
gets
kind
on
of.
the aircraft?
It could, I know aircraft, of course, it's the air filtration. All the air, is filtering back through the plane. Yes, I could see that. But I also think a very high point of illness passing is whenever you're getting herded like cattle through the line, showing your IDs and then putting your hands up and getting a TSA pat down, possibly. I've never been subject to one,
Happened
but
to me.
it has.
Yeah.
How was
In
that,
Nashville.
if you don't mind me
It was
asking?
pretty, it was pretty uneventful, but I mean, they really do get up in your personal space if you catch my drift. They don't, I mean, they take it serious.
Well,
Something to do with my belt or a button. They caught something there.
And I don't, again, I'm all for, hey, check that guy. If something came up, just give it the old 1-2.
You're
How?
saying that? You're saying that a lot. You're like, oh, such and such interview process. Oh, such and such, check that guy. Research over the last, since 9/11, has shown that the increase in TSA enforcement has done exactly nothing for airport security. It's mathematically, statistically proven. There's no increase or decrease. There's no change. It makes you feel better. And maybe that's really what matters.
Yeah, and I was hoping we'd get through, I was hoping we'd get through the topic without bringing that up, but I think it definitely serves a purpose. It's not just willy-nilly,
Listen.
they're having a good time, kind of thing.
Listen,
They're clearly,
let me get to the real meat of the matter, okay? Because it's not TSA security.
let me move past all of the security, because once you get through there, you take your belt, your shoes off, and you get all your stuff back. It's a very
Yeah.
hectic,
You're
hectic,
breezing over all the etiquette. The whole point of the episode is the etiquette. You're just walking people on how to go through an airport.
Okay,
Where's the etiquette?
so the etiquette. The
Let me stop
etiquette
you
for
right there.
TSA.
The first thing you're going to do, you have to figure out how far is it to the airport. Because your first etiquette scenario is how am I going to behave when I get to traffic? I got a 2.5 hour drive to get to Denver to the airport. And I know that if it's 8 a.m., it's a rush hour at the airport, and I'm in a line that's 3 or 4 or 5 miles long just to get to the parking lot. I got to allot another hour and a half. So there's your first
I think
scenario.
we're rehashing that, but I'll let you talk about the TSA
And
line.
then once you're in, you get to the TSA line, right? You get in and then you just walk in. But the TSA, but really, you're not concerned about how long the TSA line's taken. The bigger the airport, it kind of sucks, but there's like 8 lines to go into. And here's the etiquette. Etiquette, thusly, is you want your shoes untied, jackets already off, belts already unbuckled. You want to be loose. You want to play it fast and loose.
Act like you've been
By
there
the
before.
time, exactly, you scan your ticket and your ID, you go. As soon as you cross the threshold from the security guard to for the ticket, you
Electronics
are unlocking.
out of the
Yeah.
bag.
Because it moves fast, because that's the thing. Once you get into the line of where they're checking, you're moving quick. And so, if you're a carry-on gang, like Quinn, you gotta get your small suitcase in one bag, your backpack in another bag, shoes, belt, phone in the third bin, rather, is what I should be saying.
That's right.
And some airports, they have different rules. And they're like, oh, what are you doing putting your suitcase in a bin? It just goes by itself. And you're like, well, not the airport I was just at, you
Exactly.
know.
It's like the
So
Wild
really,
West, yeah.
ideally, the best that you can have is the you just want to keep the line moving. You hate to be the guy that's sitting, fumbling with his shoes. Let me ask you this: are you wearing laced footwear to the airport, or are you perhaps wearing dudes, something that's easy to slip off?
Regardless of what I'm wearing, I can get them on and off pretty fast. You wouldn't catch me wearing, boots or
I'm a boot wearer. I wear the whole thing. I go jacket, boots, jeans. I'm dressing for, I'm locking in. When I'm at the airport, I'm locked in. There's no comfort involved. You know what I'm saying?
I
Even though
often,
I've got a hat, so that's coming off.
because I am doing a carry-on, I'm often wearing some of the things that are hardest to pack, if that makes sense. Like
I agree.
I'm
It's tough.
gonna
It's hard to pack jackets.
yeah I'm gonna wear probably a sweatshirt, and I'll probably wear some sneakers because my flip-flops or other comfortable shoes that were easier to pack are in my bag, versus tennis shoes can take up a lot of space. But we get through the TSA line, right? The etiquette there is once you get through, get your crap and get the hell out of the way, because you don't want, an amoeba forming.
Stop blocking the line.
Yeah, don't block the line. And they'll even tell you, hey, sir, move your
Keep
ass.
it moving.
Get to your gate. Stop lollygagging. Stop, settling in here. This is not the place to lounge. Get the hell out of here. I've been told, sir, let's go. Get the hell out of here.
You're a lollygagger?
I'm not a lollygagger. I'm just a, let me make sure I got everything, because I just took basically every single item out of my bag. And now I have to put all of them back in my bag, all while
Yeah.
some man with latex gloves is pointing his finger at me, saying, "Sir, let's get it going." So, it is a kind of a hectic. Probably my least favorite part of the airport experience is getting through the TSA line. I'm sure a lot of people would say that. But after that, it's a little bit more smooth sailing. The next part for me, and I've seen a lot of memes about this as of late, is you kind of do the old gate check, right? You get through TSA,
You have to do it.
and then you say, okay, what part of the airport am I going in? Okay, I'm going this way. You go to your gate. For some reason, people have to just see it with their own eyes. Okay, there's my gate. It's right next
I
to the
do that.
Wendy's. I'm
It, you
good.
know where it
It's there.
is? You make sure it's not changed because sometimes you'll get to the airport and things will have times, delays, what have you, different gates, little shifts. So you want to put eyes on it. But you got to be careful because, more than a couple times, I'll get there really early because I'm taking into account traffic, and it'll be like, a Houston flight, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm not going to Houston. Well, it's because the Houston flight's getting there before my flight's getting there.
And one of
So you just
my,
gotta check the big board. You just gotta check the big board that they
yeah.
got.
And before we get to the etiquette of that, one of my favorite parts is looking at all the different gates, right? Because you could be heading west to a colder climate. The gate across from you is all dressed in Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops because they're going
Hilarious.
to Miami. It's always a very
Yeah.
fun, interesting thing to kind of look around and see how everybody's dressed. But the gate confirmation, is there any etiquette there? Is that the etiquette, is to see your gate, confirm your gate, know your gate?
It's a personal practice, really. And it's also a self-soothing technique because really, honestly, depending on how early you get there, do you need to lay eyes on it, or can you check the chart? And say,
Sure.
oh, well, it's on time or 10 minutes earlier, I'm delayed for now. Like you can just check the chart. But for me, I gotta put eyes on it because let me go ahead and segue us, because I read the script for
Wow.
today. Because on the way to your gate, as you're passing through the terminal, depending on where your gate is in the terminal, it's like a mile and a half long terminal.
Could
And
be.
so as you're walking, you're passing Five Guys and Chick-fil-A, and you're
PF
passing
Chang's
McAllister's, yeah, PF Chang's,
and
and the
Express.
just the wine and cheese, just the place where you can drink at 8 a.m. You're passing all these places, and so you want to say what's on the menu once I see my gate and I'm locked, I'm free to go for the next hour and a half while I wait. Where am I headed to eat?
I'm a believer, though, that time is a construct in the airport because, as Alan Jackson and Jimmy Buffett once sang about, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So I have seen people drinking beer at 7, 8 a.m. in the morning because it's an airport, right? It's kind of like a casino.
AM is in the morning. You don't have to say 7 a.m. in the morning. AM would imply that
Just
seven is in the morning.
reiterating in case people
Sure.
misunderstood the fact that I
Sure.
was seeing people drink beer for breakfast. I was just trying to get that out there. But
Yeah.
eating at the airport,
It's
drinking at the
possible.
airport, the etiquette for me there, and I don't know about you, would just be how much, there's a time thing. But I'm never trying to get something that's too heavy. I'm not trying to get something that's too spicy. I'm not trying to get something like, I often have coffee at the airport, but I know that's a dangerous game because
Well, really, it is.
you better be comfortable using a public
Yeah.
restroom, if not the airplane restroom, if you're gonna suck down
Well,
a large cup of coffee.
have you used the plane lavatory?
I have not to do any serious business, just a quick in and out type thing. But
Never
I
have I ever seen the inside of an airport, of an aircraft bathroom.
Really, I've just gone just to see it. I gotta check this out. Just go back
I like to
there,
get up. I don't like to
check
make a
things out.
scene.
I don't know. Whenever you get back there, you close the door, and that's some time to yourself. Because the whole time, this once you get to the airport, you're surrounded by people. So I will say that it's not, of course, a great place to hang out. But you get in the airplane bathroom, and it's like, hey, this is my place. I can kind of stretch my legs out. Do a little stretch. This is my own space. So sometimes I like to just kind of check it out. That's all.
See. Before we move on from eating, what is, I know you kind of described your style of what you're eating, right? You're not going heavy. You're not going anything too intense. Are you going to a sit down,
Depends
or
on how
are
much
you going
time.
through the walkthrough? Depends on how much time, and that's my question. What's your limiter?
If it's under 40 minutes, I'm probably 40, 45 minutes, I'm probably just grabbing something, taking it to the gate, sitting at the gate, eating it there, making sure, keeping an eye on the gate, that kind of thing. Because another big part of I guess airport and airline travel etiquette is, depending on what kind of airline you're flying on, that last 30 minutes is crucial for device charging, making sure that you're all charged up. You're downloaded. If you're watching a show, trying to catch up on, the latest season of Love Is Blind, you've got those episodes, in the Netflix app, downloaded, saved for your viewing, on the plane type thing. But everything's time driven, I think. Besides, the fact that if you want to drink a beer, you can just do that whenever. And I don't know what it is, an airport beer does the trick. I don't know if you've ever had one, but I would highly recommend
Just
it.
because
Not
you're stressed,
on
and
the
that's a
plane.
stress relief.
Not on the plane. I don't think I've ever drank on the plane. No, I
On the
would.
plane, you're drinking liquor straight.
Right, but all right, let's move on to the etiquette of the boarding, right? Different groups, depending on
You're
what.
paying for a better group.
I never have, no.
Simple as that. There's really only one question. Are you paying for a better boarding group?
I don't. No, and I've often flown with Southwest where I set a timer the day before to make sure I check in to possibly give me better, better boarding group, earlier boarding group. But I will say this, and don't tell anybody, okay? Lean in if you want to.
What is it?
Sometimes I'll just walk up there. If I'm
What do you
boarding
mean by that?
group C,
No way.
they call out the B's. I just walk up
They
there.
scan your ticket. They know
Yeah.
what group you're in. You have to scan the ticket.
And the worst thing that can happen is, oh, sir, you're C. Oh, shoot, I thought I was B. My bad. Go to the back of the line. Most of the time, though, they scan.
That's a little devious.
Most of the
That's a little
time, they
devious.
scan the ticket and they let me on through. I wouldn't recommend it because, of course, if everybody does that, whoa, there's no order here. But hey, come on. Just see what you can.
Ideally, the whole draw of earlier boarding groups is not really that you get to sit down earlier. It's that you are guaranteed a place right above your seat for your carry-on,
Yeah, huge.
and which is huge because sometimes they'll run out of space,
Which
and
makes no sense to me. I feel
it's
like they
crumble,
should.
but then the scenario of the we don't have enough space for the carry-ons. Anybody would like to check on for free and upgrade their boarding group and so on and so forth. But the real power play is you get off the plane earlier, the farther in front you are. And that's the real value.
Power. That's what that is. Yep. Which that's a little ahead because now we need to talk about, being in the plane itself. What are some of those etiquette things that pop into your head whenever you think
I'm riding it,
while
I'll
you're
tell you.
on the bird?
When I'm on a plane, I conduct myself thusly. I sit, I listen to music. I don't watch anything. I have in headphones and I just stare straight ahead. I might close my eyes. I've
Read
never
a book?
slept on an airplane.
Read a little book?
No. Well, okay, maybe. Maybe a book. Maybe one time or two times out of 15 times I'll read a book. Mostly I'll just have in some music. I won't look to the left or right, and I'll just lock in.
You're just staring ahead.
Well, I'll be listening to music, staring ahead. And I've got, remember, I'm
That's
wearing
like
boots, jacket, hat.
I'd be scared of you if
It's
I was sitting
basically a
next to you.
training, it's a training scenario almost for your mind and body.
I'd be kind of concerned if I was sitting next to you, I think, because it reminds me
They
of.
think it's a display of immense strength to be able to do something like that.
It reminds me of a scene off of Seinfeld where Putty, played by Patrick Warburton, I believe, is sitting next to his girlfriend Elaine, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And on the plane, he just sits there, does nothing, and stares forward. And she goes, "Are you going to do anything?" "No,
Crazy.
no, I'm good." And like that's what that reminds me of. Like you don't want to read, you don't want to do.
I have headphones in.
Okay,
I'm
that
listening to
makes it a little
music.
bit better. Makes it a little bit better. But
I don't have visual stimulation. I'm a grown man. I can sit without stimulation for a couple hours
I would
and
say
be
just
okay.
keep to yourself. Maybe one of the etiquette things I would say is, do a little friendly, "Hey, how's it going?" if you're sitting next to somebody.
No.
No, just a
No
little, no,
way.
a friendly, "Hey, how's it going?" You're not looking for a conversation. If a conversation happens, sure, but you're just a, "Hey, how's it going?" Like you don't want to just be a nice person, right? And then the other thing is I would say if you are to be one of the devilish people that passes gas on an airplane,
No.
make sure you really kind of sink into the seat. That's all I'll say.
I'll tell you a quick story. I'll make it real brief because this is a do not scenario. Young man, last time I was at the airport, flying out of Denver. We're waiting. Why are we waiting? Because we already talked about this. It was the young man. He sprints onto the aircraft, all in shambles, clothes in shambles, bags are hanging, right? He's just got stuff in his hands. Clearly, he has just proceeded through TSA and has made a beeline without any collecting of his person. And which is to say, whatever, because sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't afford it, right? Like, he probably barely got on the plane. He didn't have on any shoes. He sprinted in his socks the whole way. Now, what you ought not to do is to sit there, then sit on the plane for the duration of the plane ride and not put on your shoes. That
Keep
is
your
a
shoes on.
no-no.
Keep your shoes on.
Put your shoes on. And
I
you know
agree.
what? Maybe even hit a bit of deodorant when you wake up that morning. And I'll leave it at that. And I'll stop it right
Yeah.
there.
Please, please, Lord, put some deodorant on. Yeah. So then, I think we've covered, the putting on of the shoes and the sinking in of the flatulence if you choose to do so. It is one of those places where you can get away with it. It's loud. There's a lot of people. You just do the old shoulder shrug.
It's not loud. It's not loud. Don't put on airs. It is not. It's deathly quiet on an
Somebody starts looking at you. You do the old finger point, like, oh, I think it's this guy.
airplane.
But
You're way too knowledgeable about
you
this
land
scenario.
the plane, or you don't land the plane. You're on the plane, and the pilot lands it.
Do you clap? How
No,
white are you?
golf or not golf etiquette, but that is a thing. Plane landing etiquette. Just shut up. Just shut up. Let the plane
Hey.
land,
You're a weirdo if you're clapping
and
at on
don't
an airplane.
stand up either. Don't everybody on the plane
Are
doesn't get to
people?
stand up immediately.
Nobody's standing up. Oh, you mean
Any
once landed?
yes, once it's landed, the
Yeah,
people
that's
in the
true.
front stand up. Let them get,
It's a process.
yeah,
Row by row by row by row by row
don't
with a
stand
little bit of
there.
time allotted to pull
Don't
the
stand there
luggage
and
from the
breathe down
top.
my neck because you
Yeah.
stood up as soon as the plane landed. All right,
And
idiot.
certainly don't stand up before your time because then I got to say, hey, excuse me, I'm actually needing to get behind you.
Sure.
There wasn't a space above me. I need to come
Exactly.
three seats back.
Just
I mean, be re it's common sense. Really, at the end of
basic
the day,
human
you can
decency.
boil it exactly. You can really boil a lot of airport etiquette down to common sense
Which,
and yeah, common decency.
and to backtrack just for a second, a joke I do always say whenever the plane is landing is I look towards usually the person that I'm flying with and do the old, I hope the airport's right here. Just a, a fun joke, kind of ease the tension, right? The airport's of course right there. But as soon as you land the plane,
That's
you get
interesting.
out of the plane, you get into the airport itself. The etiquette here, and tell me if you agree, is you get the hell out of there.
Simple. Get the hell out of there. And that's
Get
it.
the hell
You
out of there.
grab your bags and you're making a straight shot for the garage or the pickup or what have you.
Anybody that
You're not
is
stopping.
stopping at a store or a restaurant or a coffee shop inside the airport after they land, insane. Get out of there. You don't need to be in there anymore. The purpose of
Nothing
you
else
being
to
in the
it.
airport is
It's
finished.
travel.
You've gotten
Yeah.
where you're
And
going.
that precisely. Yeah.
All
It's as
right.
simple as that.
Okay, so people are better off listening to this, knowing to sit down and shut the hell up in certain parts of the airport process. I feel like we made that
Most
pretty clear.
parts. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a
Okay.
good rule. It's a good, like, overall rule.
Well, that was airport and airline travel etiquette. Feel good about it. Isaac, thanks for your expertise in certain areas and keeping us on track. And that's
My
going to do it for
pleasure.
this episode of AY and 2K. My name is Quinn Eaton.
I'm Isaac Baird.
And this has been All You Need to Know.
This has been All You Need to Know. If you have a topic you would like to hear about, message us on Twitter or Facebook or send us an email at allyouneed2know00@gmail.com. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And tune in every Wednesday because here at AYN2K, we've got you covered.